Get your Bibles out tonight. How many of you saw those apple fritters this morning? Unbelievable. How many ate a whole one? Anybody ate one? I believe you. Good. Isaac, you got one? Good. I'm glad. And praise the Lord. Those were enormous. This is the message tonight. Did you read it? Okay, good. It's not long. You see that? Proverbs chapter 15. It'll be a minute before we get there, but it'll take you a second. Maybe it'll take you a second to find it. Thankful for our bus ministry. Out here we have a little bus. Out here we have, is the big bus out here, Mr. Seaman? We have a big bus. There you go. Are you happy now, Joe? All right. So what do you think about the big bus? It's big, and it's a bus. It's that big bus, unlike the little bus, well, okay. Maybe we should just cut video right here and not say these things. The big bus, we get DOT'd every 6 months. The little bus has a regular shuttle bus registration and once a year inspection like your normal vehicle. This one has to go through a rigorous 62,000 point inspection. It's not that high, but it feels like it when you wheel in this bus. Maybe if things aren't working right, you know a guy, right? And you take it to the vehicle place and you get it plugged in and they kind of turn to, you know, a lot of the New York State inspection stuff is emissions, and it's not safety, it's emissions. Well, the things on the big bus is much stringent, much more particular, and you get assigned a New York State inspector, and he goes through all, he takes his job serious, and I'm just letting you know, and his job is to make sure that any New York State bus out there is qualified and safe. He gives you, even when he doesn't see it every 6 months, he wants you to be taken into a mechanic every 60 days just for parts and maintenance, checks and all of that. So we got this bus. We take it over under a somewhat false pretense of the quality and value of this bus. So we take the bus over to New York State Inspector. It'd been a while since we've had to deal with the state inspector. So we pull it in, expecting that we will be pulling it out half a day later with New York State inspection ready to go, only to come back and he informs us, I'm sorry, it failed. And he gives you, these are the big bad fails. These are the fails that need to be fixed somewhat immediately. And here's some things that need to be done down the way. I said, okay. And thanked him for his time, tried to keep a good rapport and all of that. We're going to have to work with this guy. He's our guy. You know, it's not like, okay, next time I'll get the nice guy. This is our guy. And again, he does his job well, and this is what his job is. That he didn't do anything wrong, anything like that. In the past, they would just scrape off your inspection sticker and say you just can't use it. They don't do that anymore, Mr. Seaman. They take a very large red placard and put it in the front windshield and stick it right on that front windshield. So why did they do that? To notify any law enforcement that if this vehicle is driving, just pull it right over. It's not supposed to be driving, right? Ms. Jabisky, are you familiar? You guys don't deal with that over at Hilton because you just drive the good buses. I said, okay. I said, well, we're going to thank you for your time. I'll get it into our mechanic. And he says, you can't drive that. I said, I know that. I said, you know, we won't take it out on Sunday. We just got to get back to our church and then we'll get it tomorrow. He goes, you can't put that on the road at all. I said, how do you suggest me to get it from the bus barn back to the church? He goes, you're going to have it towed. Now, I know what normal towing of a four-cylinder little car costs, and I'm looking at this bus going, this is going to be about $250,000 to get a, what tow truck tows buses? I said, okay, and left his office. I go and I talk to someone in the shop there over at the Department of Transportation, or the Hilton Transportation. And so I said, what am I supposed to do? I said, we're a small church. What do you suggest? He's like, close the door. Close the door. Okay. He goes, Nick, you cannot take that bus on the road. I said, I know that. He just told me that. I said, that's why I'm in here trying to figure out. He goes, he leaves at about 3 o'clock. I said, okay. He goes, if I came in tomorrow morning and this bus is gone, I'm not going to ask how it left. I'm not going to ask you how you got it out of here. He goes, but Nick, he goes, I'm telling you this. He goes, don't get caught. He goes, because I'm also the judge. He goes, and I will deny all of them. So sure enough, here we are, Mission Impossible, covert operations, ski mask, goggles, the whole thing. You want to see something funny? You see Mr. Seatman in the ski mask and goggles. And there we are, and we're driving in something that we shouldn't be driving. I know it's only 4 miles, maybe, from Hilton to here, but that felt like 400 miles when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. You're looking on every corner. You're very nervous. You're looking over your shoulder. I'll tell you, in my heart, there was no peace, white knuckles. Why? Because we are doing something we shouldn't do. Many people and many Christians live their life trying not to get caught. They're driving in a failed bus up and down the highways of life, hoping God doesn't see them. I'm thankful the Monroe County Sheriff Department wasn't in there. I feel like, though, honestly, if we explain the situation and just said, listen, this is what we're doing, we'd all end up in jail. That's probably what would have happened. But the Bible tells me, and some Christians live like this, hoping that they don't get caught. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Let us remember, as we live our Christian life, there are no secrets with God. You're not pulling one over on the Lord. You're not going to be able to explain to the judge that day, hey, listen, you're the one that told me, or I was just trying to save some money. Hey, when we're dealing with sin and we're dealing with our relationship with God, there's no hidden areas. And much like driving a illegally inspected or uninspected bus down the back roads of Hilton and Hamlin, we live our life the same way, looking around every corner, worried, no peace in your heart. You don't have to live like that, though. Better thing would be to just get the thing fixed. In our own hearts, that's the better thing, right? Hey, you want to live outside of God's will? Yeah, you're going to have a hard time pulling your head at night in peace. You're going to be constantly looking over your shoulder. I hope no one catches me. You know, Bible warns us in Numbers chapter 23. I think this is a powerful verse that all our young people need to see and adults. Numbers chapter 23. I will not keep you long. I don't know how long my voice will hold up. We're singing tonight, and Sarah tells me, stop singing. Again, I don't know if it's, where's my verse now? Numbers 23. All right, transpose numbers. Hold on. Let me find it. Where's Be Sure Your Sin Will Find You Out? Mr. B, look at me up. 32:23. I'm sorry. I wrote 23:32. It is 32:23. I think this is a good verse for all Christians to see. But if ye will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And the Bible gives us this promise, be sure your sin will find you out. Those are sobering verses. Well, I hope I don't get caught. You're going to get caught. You better get right. Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Your sin will find you out. Psalm 90, look at Psalm 90. Psalm 90 in verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins. That seems like a strange word to use. In the light of thy countenance. Hey, Christian, I want to warn you tonight. If you're driving around in an uninspected bus, there's no secrets with God. That's not how God would have you to live. You're ineffective as a Christian. Because all you're worried about is not getting caught. Then I start to think, are there some things that I would like the Lord to catch me doing? Oftentimes we live our life of, I hope he doesn't. But wouldn't it be great if our testimony would be one of the opposite? I hope God catches me doing this. Remember, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, not just beholding the evil, Lydia, but he also beholds the good. And God sees when we do right and when we do good. And God has a way of blessing, letting us know that he sees that. And it's always right to do right. Kind of in light of Father's Day here, but as Christians, hey, I want my family to catch me doing good. I want my kids to, I was telling Pastor Seatman this last night a little bit. Throughout my life, I think about my mom. I constantly caught her doing right. What does that mean? I would come in, and her bedroom was on the bottom floor of our house in Irondequoit. My bedroom was upstairs, and I would get in late sometimes for Bible Institute or just life and work and stuff, and I'd always come in and say goodnight and let her know I got home safe, and she had a wooden headboard, and on that wooden headboard there were these, remember those like clip lamps, like you do this thing and it's a little lamp and you have a little, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. All right, great. Did the sound help you, Jacob? Okay, good. All right, so you got the little light. And I would constantly find her there, reading her Bible, asleep with the Bible across her chest. But sometimes I would think she would be asleep, and I'd come in, and she would open her eyes right away. Like, were you sleeping? She's like, no, I was praying. Constantly catching my mom doing things like that. I didn't know the significance of it, but I remember as a young man living in that house, and all of a sudden there was a little boy living at our house. I don't know all the circumstances because I was kind of sheltered from some of it, but my understanding is that there was a little boy whose mom didn't want him, and he was kind of getting rid of the child. She had him and was running into some problems. And how long did we have that little boy living with us? A year? I don't know what happened to him, but again, looking back, those are the kind of things I would catch my mom doing. We didn't have much, but on Sunday afternoons, we'd have people over all the time for sauce. Just catching her doing right. As a young boy growing up, that had a big impact on me. I'm going to ask tonight, what are your kids catching you doing? What's God catching you doing? Do you ever get caught reading and studying the scriptures? John chapter number 6. Again, I won't maybe use exact illustrations tonight with my kids, lest to embarrass them, but children have habits. They do things the same way. They conduct themselves the same way. And if I'm sitting in my chair at the house and kid walks into the room and then all of a sudden turns around and goes right back, in my mind as the dad, I say, "What are you up to?" Why? Because their conduct just indicated they're trying to hide something. Usually, it's not good. You know, they got a mouthful of something. What's in your mouth? You know? I called Sarah to the window. I'm like, "Hey, look at this one. It's got a chair out in the middle of the yard, trying to pick cherries off the cherry tree. Just cute. Hey, look at him." Just brings joy to your life or your heart watching them take joy in outdoors and that kind of stuff. Caught you doing cute things, you know. I have 1,000 videos on my phone of my kids just doing cute things, right? I wonder if the Lord, I know he doesn't use technology, but hey, let me show you my son. Look, I caught him right here. Look at what he's doing. His heart is broken right here. But look at him. Look at what he's doing. In John 6:68, and Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life." Look at this. He just got bad news, and look at what he did. He just ran to the scriptures. Do you see that? That's my son. Look at my daughter here. Here, look at her. She's dealing with an illness. And she's just reading the Psalms, trying to find comfort from me. Caught her doing it. I wonder if the Lord is catching us in our reading and our study. You know, the Bible tells us, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Hey, we can point out all the problems with the things that we perceive in the world, but are we studying these things out for a biblical answer? I'm thankful for ministries like Compass Care that look at all the problems and say, you know what, we're going to try and be a light in a dark place where this world is trying to kill children. We're going to try and save their life. Hey, you pray for them. They were attacked this last week or so. Governor hasn't mentioned much about it, hasn't given him much funding. There's links if you want to be a help to that ministry, to help them rebuild. But are you reading? Are you studying? Do your kids ever catch you reading? Hey, where's Dad? Where's Mom? Hey, where's Junior? He's in his room reading. Now, you don't do it for a show, but does the Lord ever catch you reading and studying? Hey, kids, we're on summer break. It's easy to just kind of put your Bible aside, pick it back up in September. Hey, may the Lord catch us reading the scriptures. May the Lord catch us. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Just a few things here. Some things we want to get caught doing. Second Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 6, it says this, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." This isn't talking necessarily about farming. "Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." So the Lord catch us giving, giving to his work, giving to missions. Look at this. I sent him $1,000, and look what he did. He took $500, and he gave it to the gospel going to India. He caught him. So why would I do that? And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Because God can bless in ways that far exceed what we could ever think or imagine. I'm going to ask, does he catch you being generous? Giving to his work. I'm thankful. I no longer know what people used to be the treasurer years ago, and no longer know any of that. And I don't want to. I don't look in the things or whatever, but you know, God knows. Doing good. Get caught reading. Get caught studying. Get caught giving. How about this? James chapter number 5. That's a hard one. Say, the first two weren't easy. Well, this one might be a little hard. Anybody have an Apple Watch? Anybody have one of those? A couple? A few? Here. I don't know why, but every now and then it'll tell me to breathe. Makes me think, thought I was. It'll tell you, sit down and have a moment of, what is it called, like mindfulness. See, I don't know what that means. I just snooze. I don't know what that means. But I think it's just kind of like, hey, take a minute and just settle down for a second. Just kind of clear your thoughts and just, I did the breathe one exercise. I almost passed out because it's like, breathe in, hold it. Okay, let it out, and then do that like for like, it's like 2 minutes or something like that. I don't know. Am I close, Mr. B? All right, something like that. Say, why are you saying that? James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore. Ever have one of those moments? Whew. Hold on. Hey, look at this. His last nerve just snapped. Look at him. Look at him. He's deep breathing. He's trying to be patient. Caught him being patient. No, about 3 years ago, there would have been a blue streak. There would have been, everybody there would have been verbal fodder. No, I've been working with him. Been trying to help him in his heart. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of our Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. What is that? Mindfulness. I'm going to take a minute so I don't respond with my flesh. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Does the Lord catch you being patient? We just drove back from Tennessee, 12 hours. Every 4 hours or so, the children in the vehicle demand food. And so we had some snacks. We had some fig bars. Are you familiar with fig bars? It's like a power bar. It's a whole meal packed into something about the size of that. It has about 6,000 calories, about that big. Didn't go over so well. I thought it would slow them down a little bit more. So we stop, we pull off the road. All of a sudden we're in the, you know, we're excited that, you know how they have on the highway. You're coming up, and here's the attractions here. 4 gas stations and 6 fast food places. Great. We've tried all the fast food places. This time, Sam, you get to pick. It's Burger King. Great. Sam loves Burger King. That's his favorite, right? Burger King. And flame-kissed the Whoppers. That's what we want. So we pull off, all of a sudden we're in a construction zone, cars coming in and out of everywhere, longest light in the world, somewhat frustrating at that moment, but then we pull in, finally get into Burger King, we go, and the door's locked. That's like middle afternoon. What on earth? So I do what you would do and try the door again. And somehow maybe it unlocked in the last 3 seconds. And then I did also what you would do. Because there's people in there, workers. You would think if the lobby was closed, just normal courtesy, would be put a sign on the door that says closed, because the only sign that's there tells me the hours that they're open, to which I fell in between. You're not closed. You're in a uniform. You have the little Burger King hat on. The lights are on. I just want a burger. A couple cars in the drive-thru, didn't want to do that. Okay, so we get back in the vehicle and go to the next place. Get some other food. Get off the highway again, some 4 hours later, pull into McDonald's. Closed. We're not going at like 2 o'clock in the morning, Jacob. We're going at like 6 o'clock in the evening. What? He said Waffle House. I tried so hard, brother, to get us to a Waffle House. They voted down. They said, listen, they said dirty things about Waffle Houses. We'll go to a Waffle House. I've never been to a Waffle House. I just wanted a waffle. I know. I just wanted a waffle. Yeah. Don't go. Okay. I feel like that was maybe a bit of wisdom, but I'm not sure. So there we are at the second fast food place within one day, and they're closed. So I'm looking for bricks to throw through the window to help them unlock it. Patience. Do you get caught with patience? Do you get caught with, I hope I don't get caught with my hand in the cookie jar. Do you get caught reading your Bible? Do you get caught by God being generous and kind, giving? Does the Lord catch you acting in patience in those stressful situations? Ephesians 4:32 reminds us how important kindness is. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. When someone is cruel and mean to you, do you respond with kindness? I told you this morning how I went to that urgent care or that fast track thing this morning. Friday morning on our way back, trying to get antibiotic shots. I wasn't trying to give antibiotic shots. They were just giving them out, and I was there. And yesterday, I was at the doctor trying to see a real doctor about it all and just make sure that the people in Kentucky were telling me straight. And as I was at the doctor, my phone rings, and it's the nurse's station down in Kentucky calling me just to make sure I made it home okay and if I was all right. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Do you get caught being kind? Kids out on the playground. Oh, you two, come here. I can tell you were about to punch him in the face. Now stop it. Hey, you come over here. I just heard what you said. Now go apologize, and you come sit down for about 15 minutes. Wouldn't it be nice? Hey, come here. Look at this one. Look, he was safe, but to make it nice with all the kids on the playground, he just went and sat down. And he said kind words to his friend. I caught him doing it. The guy at work that's mean and cruel and curses up a storm. Look. I caught my son being kind to that one. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Watch the video. Watch. Look at him there. Yeah. I'm impressed too. Caught him. Caught him being kind. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Hey, don't drive your bus uninspected. That's no way to live. But drive around doing good. Reading, studying, giving, being patient, being kind. And lastly, I told you the impact on my life, catching my mom regularly praying. Philippians chapter 4, you're probably pretty close to that right there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. Look, this young man, he didn't know what to do. Look what he did. No, he didn't call his friend. Nope, didn't go to YouTube, didn't go to Google, didn't go to Facebook. Came to me. Listen, no, I have the audio. Listen to him. He's crying out for help. Isn't that wonderful? No, look at this young lady over here. Did the same thing. She's praying about missions and she doesn't know. And she's just asking me to lead her and guide her. Isn't that beautiful? Caught him praying about everything. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's always better to do right. So get caught. So what do you mean? Get caught doing right. Get caught reading the scriptures. Get caught being generous and giving. Get caught being patient. Get caught being kind. Not for everybody, but for the God of heaven. Because he sees everything. Let's all stand. Hey, if you're here tonight, I'm just gonna say, if you're driving the uninspected bus, that's no way to live. In a moment, the altars are gonna open. Best thing you could do is just come and say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sin. I don't want to touch it anymore. I don't want to mess with it. I don't want that. But maybe you want to come and make a decision. Lord, will you help me to be more faithful and consistent with these things that I know are right? The things that we talked about tonight, if I asked you, hey, do you think it's a good idea to be kind? Absolutely. Think it's a good idea? You think it's a beneficial thing to be patient towards all men? Yes, I do. Do you struggle with that? 100%. So maybe you need to come and ask the Lord. Lord, maybe I've been a little stingy with you. What does that mean? You've told me to be a blessing to others, and I haven't been. Maybe you haven't been faithful in your praying, in your reading, in your study. And I know we're on summer break, but we never stop being a Christian. These things ought to be all the time with us. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Lord, I pray if there's something here tonight in someone's heart and they don't, that ought not to be. Lord, that they'd get freedom over that. And they would come and confess that to you. Not have to worry and not have to live in fear, but live in peace. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be consistent and steady with the things that we know that we ought to do. Lord, help us with these things. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? Lord, help me to get caught doing right.